I'll tell you what I don't want in pinball machines on this episode of the Pinball Nerds Podcast. Welcome back, Pinball Nerds, episode 495 of your fifth favorite pinball podcast. My name's Orbital Albert, and today, for the second time ever, I'm attempting of almost 500 episodes to record live. For the first time ever out here in River Hibbert, I'm going to be recording. That was the Spice Girls with Wannabe, of course. And, you know, this is what I really want in pinball. I want to boil it down. I wanted to pick an easy, fun, simple episode for my first time that I'm actually recording. And if you are just listening to this right now on the podcast, feel free to go over and you can kind of see me chit-chat for a little bit, mostly with Craig Bobby. I think the only person in chat right now is Mr. Craig Bobby, of course, of the Pinball Show. Thanks, honey. Drop Target Danielle's. Just wave to everybody. Wave, or at least wave to Craig or people watching later. Some people might come and watch later. So... I'm going to try, this is when I was on the Final Round Pinball Podcast and I talked about doing, some video stuff. This isn't really what I was talking about. I want to do more like 25% Carrie Hardy, 25% Marv Loco, 25% flipping out, 25% just crazy Orby. Right. But I probably will just be crazy, 100% crazy Orby. Don't worry, but they're going to be more fun. There's going to be editing, believe it or not. Woo, I'm going to do editing. It's going to be fun. It's going to be enjoyable. There won't be as many episodes. I'll still have the audio episodes. Don't unsubscribe or anything right meow, because don't worry, I will still do all of those audio episodes. But the main thing you came here for was to hear five things that I think that we just, no pinball machine needs ever, like ever do we need to have these. Okay, I'm going to start with the easy one. Number five. This is one you're already thinking about it. I'll give you like 10 seconds while I have a little sip of my IPA here. And I want you to think of something that no pinball machine needs ever. Tasty. Okay, so number one, this is an easy one, or number five as it would be, because I'm trying to do these in some type of ranking or order of like how much pinball machines don't need them. And number five is video modes. We don't need video modes anymore. Video modes aren't just bad because they take you out of your flow. They take you out of your rhythm. Sometimes it can take, like, you have to really work hard the first 30 seconds of a ball, for me anyways, to really get into the game and get your shots tuned in and get going and get your rhythm. And all of a sudden, video mode. Seriously, like, it's literally a Debbie Downer. Like, nobody goes, oh yeah, sweet video mode, I can just press buttons. And if I wanted to play video games, I go play video games. Okay, there's already video games in the arcade. If I wanted to go play them, I just go play them, right? You know what I'm saying? So the other thing I didn't like, this happened a lot and I took advantage of this. I was a jerk, I'm not gonna lie. A lot of times when I was playing in Monday Night Pinball, called the office in London, Ontario, I would be on Star Wars and I'd be playing in a group with players quite often, you know, a lot better than me. And although a lot of them did know how to start the video mode, I could just for some reason get into it like that. And if I was behind, especially on ball three, and even if I was behind by like 100,000 and they had been playing better and they had like hit their shots and they had done their modes better or whatever, and they were 100 million, 200 million ahead of me, I would just go into the... I almost felt cheesy and cheap doing it, right? It felt a little dirty, like icky, like, ugh, what's happening, right? But you go do the video mode and you get, even a bad video mode for me was like 180 million to like 300 million on Star Wars. And you go, but just for knowing how to press some button, like I wasn't a better pinball player. I had just played that game more and memorized the buttons. I feel the exact same way about Doctor Who. There's a video mode where if you memorize like up, up, down, left, up. I was horrible at those. I wasn't good at the cheat codes on Mortal Kombat. And I'm here to play pinball. I'm here for the craziness. I'm here for the obscureness. I'm here for the, you know, how it, you can't rely on where the ball's going to go or what it's going to do. And that's what I love in pinball. And all of a sudden you go to video mode and it reminds me of everything. I sucked at video games. I was always the worst at video games of everyone there. I thought Ellen was going to come up out here on my lap here, but she's just going to lay there under the table. Let's go move on to number four. And I think this one's important. It could have been a little bit higher, but I think that we're starting to see this actually happen in pinball, where less and less and less people are doing this, less designers. And to every designer out there who is doing this, thank you. So what I never want to see again, we don't ever need to have a pinball machine with just two flippers. Do we? Think about it. When you have just two flippers at the very bottom of the machine, you're only going to get like up and down, mostly lateral motion. You're not going to get very much horizontal motion. When you add one flipper, even a third of the way up or halfway up, it now opens up that whole side over there to shots that are quite often, most of the shots with the flipper are just impossible, or you could hit it maybe off a pop bunker or a fluke, but like to shoot up one of those ramps that you can shoot with an upper flipper or, you know, and that does bring us around to the next point. Don't put a third flipper there just to put a flipper there. I've seen a couple of those machines. That was more so in the 80s and 90s. They were like, oh, let's just throw a flipper here. You don't want to do that either. You want it to have meaning and purpose. I will say this, a runner up on this list was dead end shots. So like a shot that like possibly on Led Zeppelin on the pro that you hit and it just goes boom, boom. And like, you know, that is annoying, but I think we already all know that that's annoying. Now, if we're talking about like Jack Danger's home edition, I think it's okay if it just has two flippers. That's, you know, it costs thousands of dollars less. It's for a different market. I think that's fine. I also think if you did a replica like the Beatles, if you're trying to do an homage back to a 1950s EM or something like that, I think it's okay. What I don't think is okay is ever again for us to go back, just every pinball machine only has two flippers all the time. Or I don't really think it counts. Like, you know, Game of Thrones LE with the playfield up there, I don't think that counts with those extra two mini playfields. I like mini playfields, don't get me wrong. But same thing with Munsters. I consider Munsters really to be a two flipper machine. I get there's the two little cutesy. They're very cute. The two little basement ones down there. I get that. But that's... it's like the cat's out of the bag. It's almost like when we went from 2D video games for years and years and years, you know, we had Mario 2, Mario 3, and it was all 2D and they're great. I love Mario. Don't get me wrong. But all of a sudden when you opened up and you could play games like Wolfenstein 3D or Doom, and all of a sudden you could turn left and you could turn right and up and down. And I mean, Minecraft, Fortnite, almost every big game nowadays is 3D. I think maybe like, I play a little mobile game called Zombs.io, and that game is not, but 99% of games nowadays are 3D. And it's kind of like once you let the cat out of the bag, knowing like I see a place in 5 to 10 years from now where most pinball machines actually strive to have three, if not four. And again, you don't need to just stick an extra flipper in there just to say you did it. You got to make sure those shots are relevant. They're shootable. Okay. American Pinball with Beer Fest there, they have to be a shootable shot that you've added, right? But let's move on. So number three on my list is this one. It's going to seem like I'm picking on American Pinball here, but I'm not. I'm going to pick on Stern in a little bit. But it's the unthemed. We just don't need, there's so many themes. Even if your theme is like, I'll call it theme light, like Jetsons. Or Frick, even now, I know that they didn't choose to do this, but obviously American Pinball did Dominoes. I still think that Dominoes is probably a better theme than it. It's at least relatable. People can recognize it. I don't think anyone goes, oh, I'm such a fan of Domino's Pizza, I have to get the pinball machine. I do think, though, when you look at something like Supreme, that brand in itself is just so iconic that those people who love Supreme are going to run out there and get that. Domino's was a horrible example, but there's, well, even really Weird Al. Weird Al is not like a tier A you know, theme. Even just anchoring P3 Multimorphics, if that was just called like Run Around the Farm or something like that, that game with the exact same shots and the, you know, similar mechs and similar artwork and similar animations, it would not have sold nearly as well, because you're getting everybody who loves awesome pinball and then you're getting everybody who kind of likes Weird Al, right? So you're kind of getting the best of both worlds. I don't want to harp on this too long, so I want to be positive about it, but in this day and time, I don't even think, even though I love TNA, I don't even think in this day and time it would be a good idea to try to replicate TNA. Now, again, we're talking possibly if you have those lower tiered, back then Spooky's machines were significantly less expensive than they are now, and it kind of made sense. Oh no, Craig Bobby says he lost the feed, but I'm back. Oh no, I'm sorry, Craig Bobby. Let's move on. Okay, so number two on the list. Okay, where's Teolis? Oh, wait, he's probably in Allentown at the tournament, I'm thinking. I don't, maybe not. I didn't see him on the list. But what is worse than, and this happens often, I'm playing at this really cool record store called Spin It Records in downtown Moncton, about an hour from here. Make sure you check it out if you're ever in Moncton, pinball nerds. And a lot of these people in there are checking out records, they're checking out really cool movies, they're maybe getting some popcorn, they're checking out video games, they're looking at Funko Pops, they're checking out collectible toys. And there you are, one of the only pinball machines in the front, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you just start going, oh, come on, Starfighter, let's go, or TIE Fighter, you know what I mean? And it's like, it's annoying. Even when I was going over this podcast, Drop Target Danielle admitted to me how nerdy you look. Well, it's okay to look nerdy, because we're all pinball nerds, but honey, just tell everybody, do you look like a freaking dork in the middle of the arcade going, come on, we're gonna get there. Thank you. See, someone in chat, give me a hells yeah, you look like a dork. Can we get rid of the action buttons? Amen. That's right. My calling as the pinball preacher has begun. Anyways, yeah, no more action buttons. Teolis is right about that. They're really annoying. I find them tedious. Make it so that you have to press both buttons if you have to make a choice. We've had that on machines for years. It's not that difficult. You know, you could use a start button for certain. We've got more than enough buttons on pinball machines. We don't need to start adding more, because then it becomes two action buttons is cool. And then five. And then all of a sudden, it's the same thing I was saying before. Wooka, 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 Slim Shady. No, it's the problem is it ends up becoming video games again. And if I wanted to go play video games and go, I go do it. But I don't want to do that. That's why I'm here playing the pinball. So let's keep the pinball in the pinball and get rid of the action buttons, and or save them for Ron, you know, later on, and play them in the video games, right? Okay, so number one on my list, and this one is just, oh, you've heard it other places. I'm not the first pinball media person to say this, okay? But it's the Dwight Show. And it's not always Dwight, so I'm not going to say it's always Dwight. But Dwight Sullivan of Stern Pinball, of course, and many other companies before that, loves to put in bright light shows. And I like light shows, but I don't like the strobing ones. So I used to live stream back on the Pinball Nerds podcast Twitch channel, which I believe it's still there. Don't even know. Hopefully we get better internet and I can use it again soon. But on that channel, when I would go to do a live stream, you would see me playing The Walking Dead. And all of a sudden, when you start a multi-ball or an event that caused a strobe light to come on, I would actually have to close my eyes. And I would just wait until, you know, usually the strobe ends right as the balls start to shoot out. Hey, there's Elwin. I was just talking about you. Come here. Anyways, there. Just for the video viewers. So, anyways, this was just a simple, fun, little, small podcast. I wanted to see if the internet could handle it. I'm going to try to change my frames per second on the Pinball Nerds podcast Facebook page so that works a little bit better. Because I can see that we did lose the feed here, it looks like. But for all of you just listening, you got to hear it here first, which is great. Before I go, I did want to say welcome back, Mr. Christopher Franchi, Christian Line, and of course, Jeff Parsons. They did their first show together. It was great. It was bittersweet because it was hard to hear Lyman Sheets' last interview is on there. So for all of you who haven't listened, why are you living under a rock? Go listen to the Super Awesome Pinball Show. But it was sort of bittersweet because it was so nice to get to hear them on the radio again. But also it was very sad to listen to Lyman, even though, you know, he's not necessarily talking about sad stuff. It's just, you know, that was a couple months before his untimely passing, of course. So, but get over there and listen to that. Thanks, Franchi, for welcoming back. I really, really appreciate it. I also want to give a quick shout out to Drew from the Poor Man's Pinball Podcast. And also Jonathan Hall, I believe, who was on there. If you guys haven't listened to the Poor Man's Pinball Podcast for a bit, get over there and listen to that too. I think that's Drew's best show in like a freaking year. I think Drew might have to have Ian back on the show to have a show better than that. Because, you know, I listen to every Poor Man's Pinball Podcast show ever. Just some of them, you know, Drew maybe lost a little bit of his bravado, a little bit of his rah, woo, chicka chicka. I don't know. And I'm not telling the guy that he has to like chug beer and get crazy for every single episode, but a couple of them were kind of like really mellow. And I got through them. They were good. The one with the Ballarama people from starting the pinball company in Australia was, I didn't get through that one, but I got through all the other ones. And I love Tribe Multi Ball, of course, with Rachel and Tim, the Lion Man Lee. So everything they do is great. Get over there and listen to that. Go support one of your local pinball nerds. Go support. I've spent thousands of dollars buying t-shirts, going to pinball tournaments, you know, even hosting charity pinball tournaments, giving back and, you know, to my community whenever I can. And now it's my turn to shill, guys. Right here, we have the last bag. This is it. The last bag of coffee. We just put in our new order. It should come in sometime next week. This is the City Lights. This is the last day for you to order. And thank you to Dan the Man. I think I said that already, but thanks so much, Dan the Man, for ordering. And a couple of my homies back there in good old London, Ontario. This is your last day. So if you're listening to this right, I mean, if an order comes in tomorrow, I said April 7th, but if an order comes in tomorrow, I will abide by it. You order some coffee, I'm going to throw in a free pack of Pinball Nerds Podcast trading cards. It's just the promo pack. Did you grab the hologram card, babe? No. Told just beside my bed, silly Willie. You're lucky you're so pretty. I asked for one thing. No, I'm just kidding. Tunes, it's okay. Everybody, I'm going to end the podcast here, but I'm actually going to play a quick game of Fortnite. And on the game of Fortnite, I don't have like five cameras, so it's not going to be professional, but I thought it would just be kind of fun to have a beer with you guys. And if anyone's left in here, it's probably hard to chat while I'm talking this much, but if anyone's left in there and they have any questions, they can do that. Please, everybody, final shout out of the show, I promise. Please head on over to, I believe it's Backhand Pinball, but go over to the Allentown Facebook page and go watch the Allentown tournament. It was so interesting. I was watching Dalton Eli was in first last night. Raymond Davidson was right behind him. And Eric Stone had like two more entries of his 12. It's so interesting. It's so fun. I'm going to be watching it shortly after this. So head over there, give them some love, sub if you can. Yeah, here, I'll show everybody on the camera. This is my favorite hologram ever. That's Drop Target Danielle. Now you're going to get this bad boy plus two Drop Target Danielles. Base promos. They're not like the final completed copy of that, but they're kind of just, you know, we printed them off. I might as well give them away to you guys. Anyways, pinball nerds, I love you. I hope that you have a wonderful weekend. And until next time, remember to eat, sleep, and breathe pinball.